A minister's wife was very frugal, and she was a wonder at conserving food and rarely had to throw away any food. At one meal, she served her husband nothing but leftovers that the minister viewed with great disdain. He began to pick at the food, causing his wife to say, "Dear, you forgot to say the blessing." He replied, "Listen, sweetheart, if you can show me one item that hasn't been blessed at least two times, I can't see how another prayer could help." So today's gospel, we have Jesus giving us lots of leftovers. In fact, 12 baskets full of bread and fish from this great miracle called the multiplication of the loaves and fish. This is the beginning of John chapter 6, the first 15 verses. John chapter 6 is the great Eucharistic chapter. Over the next couple Sundays, we'll be hearing about Jesus' discourse that he is the bread of life. That his flesh is true food, his blood is true drink. This is really one of the most important chapters in all of sacred scripture, John chapter 6. Years ago, when Virginia came out with personalized license plate, I thought, well, what scripture quote should I put on my license plate? Out of all the wonderful quotes of scripture, I picked JNCH6, John chapter 6. But at least once a year, somebody comes up to me and says, "Father, what does join channel 6 mean?" But then I can explain all about John chapter 6 and about the Eucharist. So if we take a look at these 15 verses, not a long gospel, but it contains so much important information. It says Jesus had vast crowds following him because of the signs that he had worked. He was raising the dead, curing the paralyzed, healing the blind, the deaf, the lepers. He was casting out demons. And Jesus had a huge crowds following him. On today's occasion, he sits on the side of a mountain with his disciples gathered around him. It says the Jewish feast of the Passover was near. So we know this is probably about the April time frame. It says, he looked up, Jesus raised his eyes and saw a vast crowd coming toward him. And of course, this crowd had journeyed for a couple of days. They would have not had food or provisions because they've been following him for the last 3 days. So he turns to Philip and says, "Where can we buy enough food for everyone to eat?" Why did he ask Philip? Philip was the hometown boy. This was his place of birth. He was from Bethsaida on the Sea of Galilee. He knew all the local Taco Bells and Chick-fil-A's that were in the area. He knew the falafel stands, which were the best. And so he knew where he could get provisions, but Philip is pessimistic. And in fact, even John says that Jesus only said this to test him because Jesus knew what he was going to do. But Philip answered that even if we had 200 days' wages, we could not buy every person just a morsel or even a mouthful. They would have so little to eat. So Philip is a patron saint of pessimistic people. But then Andrew comes along. Andrew is always introducing people to Christ. He introduces his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. He introduces the Greeks to Jesus a week before the Lord's death. And here he discovers a young boy out in the crowd, and he introduces him to Jesus. And he says, "We've discovered that there's a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Well, from this statement, we know that this child was poor because only the poor people ate the barley loaves. It was the least expensive of all the bread in those days. So the poor would be, the barley loaves would be the food of the poor. But notice that this boy is the hero of the story. He's the one who's willing to give his own meal and the meal of his family to Jesus. And he probably thought, well, what good will it do? But it doesn't matter. As long as we give what we have to the Lord, he can take what we have, as small as it might be, as insignificant as you think it might be. But Jesus can then work miracles with what we give. If we give of ourselves, our time, our talent, our treasure, the Lord can take that and multiply it and do great things. So we see first this unselfishness, this generosity of this young boy who's willing to give up his own meal and the meal of his family to give it to the Lord. So Jesus says now he has something to work with. And he tells the people to recline. This was the posture of eating in those days. The Jews would recline on one side and they would rest their elbow and they would eat with their other hand. And they would then converse with the people sitting near them. And John says there was a great deal of grass in that place, again indicating it was the springtime, probably April, where there would be large amounts of grass. So it says there were 5,000 men, not even counting women and children. So the crowd could have been maybe 7, 8, 9,000, 10,000 people. Jesus says, took the loaves and gave thanks. This is, in a sense, a hint at Eucharistic language. The word Eucharist is the Greek word, which means to give thanks. And so it says Jesus gave thanks. He said the blessing and distributed the bread, the 5 barley loaves, and the 2 dried fish to the disciples, who then passed them out to the crowd. They just kept breaking the bread, distributing the fish. And Jesus, it says, they all had their fill. Imagine that. Now, Frank Sheed, in his excellent book on the life of Christ, makes an interesting point. He says, even though we call it the multiplication of the loaves of fish, it seems from the miracle that Jesus didn't take 5 loaves and 2 fish and make 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fish. He fed everyone with those same 5 loaves and those same 2 fish. They just kept breaking them and breaking them and breaking them more and more, but they were, in a sense, being able to be expanded, that they, in that sense, he fed everyone with just those 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that was an incredible miracle. And it foreshadows the Eucharist, because Jesus can feed 1.2 billion Catholics every Sunday. Not with 1.2 different Jesuses, but with the same Jesus, with himself in the Holy Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. So each one of us receives Jesus in Holy Communion, his complete self, body, blood, soul, and divinity, just like your husband or child or spouse or neighbor, who are all receiving, we all receive the same Jesus, just as all those people received from those 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was an incredible miracle of being able to share that with everyone. And everyone ate until they were completely full. And then Jesus says, gather up all the leftovers so that nothing will be wasted. Remember Pope Paul VI in 1974, in the World Day of Food for the Poor, used this example to remind America and the whole world not to be wasteful, not to waste food, not to waste water, not to waste our material resources. These are gifts from God, and we're called to be good stewards of creation, as Pope Francis has reminded us so often. So we have to be careful to not waste things so that we can help others. And Jesus says, but nothing wasted. Perhaps they would then give that food to the poorest of the poor, to those who were not even present. So they gathered up all the leftovers. Notice how concerned Jesus was for that. I remember hearing a sermon years ago where the priest said, if Jesus was so concerned about natural food, how much more should we be concerned about supernatural food, the Holy Eucharist? And think of the great care and reverence we should all have for the Most Blessed Sacrament. Not to let one particle fall to the ground, or one drop of the precious blood. Because every particle, every host, every particle of the host is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Even if we began to run out of hosts, we could break them in half, or in 1/4, or 1/16, and everybody would still receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, even in the smallest particle, even in one drop of the precious blood. I remember reading an analogy from Father Leo Tracy in his book, The Faith Explained. And he says, if you took a mirror and looked at the mirror, you could see your reflection. If you smashed the mirror onto the ground and picked up even a small piece of the mirror, you could still see your reflection. He says that's just a little analogy of how even the smallest particle is Jesus Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity. So I think what we can learn from today's gospel, in fact, it ends by saying the crowd was amazed at this great sign, this great miracle, and they said, truly, this is the prophet, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. And says Jesus knew that they were going to carry him off and make him a king, but he withdrew to the mountain alone. He did not want to be an earthly king. He wanted to be the king of our hearts. He wanted to be our spiritual Lord and Savior. He did not want to set up an earthly throne in Jerusalem. He wants to set up a throne in each of our hearts. And as we honor Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, we honor him truly as Christ our King.